The Las Vegas massacre has revived the outcry against the presence of certain guns in this country. But these calls for tightening gun laws or banning the bump stock that converts a rifle into an automatic weapon are focused on Congress. You're not going to see too much of an outcry in Lansing beyond a few tweets. That's because the gun control side lost Michigan over 16 years ago, according to our next guest. Zach Gorchow of Gongwer News Service is back to walk us through this moment in history. So, Zach, we're going back to 2000. It's less than a year after the mass shooting at Columbine High School. And at that point, Michigan was a may-issue state, which meant what?
It basically meant that if somebody wanted a permit to carry a concealed pistol, they had to apply to their county gun board, and that gun board would decide whether you would get one or not. And some counties would give out the permits quite liberally, and others, it was very difficult to get a permit.
And the pro-gun activists and lawmakers were working very hard to make Michigan a shall-issue state,
right,
which flips to the other side of the coin, doesn't it?
Yes, basically that was designed so that anybody who had not been convicted of a serious crime, didn't have a history of mental illness, would get a permit if they applied for it. And they had to go through some training as well.
So they were crafting a law which would have done what?
Well, the law basically was to make Michigan a shall-issue state so that this limited number of people who had permits to carry a concealed pistol, now it would be open, much more open to folks, that they wouldn't be subject to the whims of their county gun board, that there would be, it would be much easier if you wanted to carry concealed, you could do that. And it had been sought after for many, many, many years. But finally, the political dynamics in the legislature lined up in the 1999-2000 term to make it happen. It was torturous. It was extremely acrimonious. But by the end of the year of the 1999-2000 term, Governor Engler, the governor at the time, did sign a bill into law to make Michigan a shall-issue state.
So we've got the pro-gun side trying to change Michigan's concealed weapon law and make Michigan a shall-issue state. But the bill stalled after passing the House and Senate?
It did. The shooting in Littleton, Colorado at Columbine High School really changed the whole dynamics of the situation. The state came under a lot of national scrutiny for moving a bill that would loosen concealed weapon permitting in the wake of this. Now, the shooting at the high school had nothing to do with concealed weapon permitting. However, there was a very intense debate as to whether those getting concealed weapon permits under the new law should be able to carry into schools. So it became really acrimonious. And eventually, Governor Engler and the leaders of the legislature decided the environment was just too toxic to move on the legislation. And it sat for really more than a year.
That was very rare, wasn't it, to have something like that?
Yes, you don't see a bill pass the House and the Senate with fairly substantial majorities and then just peter out and not make it to the governor's desk. It's very unusual.
And then comes November 2000, the election comes and goes, and it is lame duck. What happened then?
Well, the pro-gun forces decided now was the time. The election was over. They had the opportunity now to try to move the shall-issue legislation, and they did. Now, it was changed quite a bit. The governor's office wanted a number of changes, but the bottom line was still the same, to make Michigan a shall-issue state. What was added then was pretty substantial training requirements, and they did put in place the gun-free zones, so to speak, where schools, houses of religious worship, daycare centers, other sensitive venues, people could, with a concealed weapons permit, could not bring their pistol into those venues.
All right, so the legislature reworks this gun bill in lame duck, and then a moment in Michigan history, a tactic very familiar these days when lawmakers want to hurriedly get something through that they think could be unpopular enough to spark a voter referendum movement. So what happened for the very first time with this bill?
Well, the legislature added, I believe, $1 million to the Department of State Police to implement a portion of the law. And the reason that was very significant was the Michigan Constitution says that bills making appropriations to state institutions are not subject to voter referendum. And what had been percolating for some time was that the pro-gun control forces had been saying, okay, you guys go and pass what you're going to pass. We're going to put it up on the 2002 ballot for referendum. and challenge it, because it was unclear whether this was going to pass muster with the electorate should there be a statewide vote. But by putting this funding in, the goal was to basically inoculate it from referendum. Now, the purpose of that language, prohibiting referenda on bills making appropriations to state institutions, was to prevent sort of zealots from paralyzing state government. So when you have all the bills making appropriations to fund the government, billions of dollars, you can't have that put up for referendum because the whole state government could be shut down for 2 years as a result. But the language was loose enough that maybe just adding $1 million would be good enough. And sure enough, it worked. A group went out and collected the signatures necessary to put the bill up for referendum in 2002, but a lawsuit was filed, and the state Supreme Court ruled that it was not eligible for referendum.
And that laid the groundwork for something that we've seen that happen a lot in recent years.
Yes. Yeah, it changed everything. It really ended the right to referendum under the Constitution.
And as far as the gun control movement and any effort to get Michigan back to being a May issue state, that fizzled out then, didn't it?
It did. What was surprising was the pro-gun control folks have been saying, you know, look, if we lose the ability to do a referendum, it's not over. We could pursue a voter-initiated act, which would be a totally new law. Referendum is an up or down vote on what the legislature passed and the governor signed. But they could still pursue a citizens-initiated act. It would be a totally new law to accomplish essentially the same thing. But it just didn't happen. They said they were going to do it, but it just petered out. It was surprising to me because they had gone out and collected, I think, something like 230,000, 240,000 signatures for referendum. They would have needed to start from scratch, but they would have needed roughly the same, a little more, to get a cushion to do the voter-initiated act. They had law enforcement that had been with them on this. They had a lot of prominent funders with entertainment venues who were on their side. And they had put together this organization pretty much from scratch to go get these signatures, which is not easy. But it just simply never happened. And the momentum they had built up completely evaporated. And the pro-gun folks, they had the law they wanted. They had all the organization, and there's really been nothing since that has just changed that dynamic.
Fascinating look at Michigan's history in terms of gun control. Zach Gorchow, Gongwer News Service, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.